All right, let's get to it, y'all. Welcome back to Old Let's Talk About It. If you're new here, if you've never taken a chance to check out my channel, I ask that you, while you're here, hit that subscribe button. You see that? That's right there. Hit that subscribe button and come along for the ride of these conversations with different people and different topics that I bring along myself, just to get the conversations going, to get you talking, to get you thinking about different things, different areas, different ways to do things. It's been a couple of months, a couple of weeks or whatever, since I've been able to put a podcast out. Between my schedule and then some of the guest schedule, it's been a little struggle to get more than just local people to be on my podcast. Of course, I highlight certain ones from where I'm from, but the goal is to reach out to those in different areas, not just Emporia, not just Virginia, but I want to reach somebody in Germany and in Italy and Australia, Greece or something like that. My voice is not just for me and not just for a small group of people. Hopefully the conversations that come about, especially the one today, will resonate with people in a way to just get you thinking about things a different way. All right. Okay, so what is today's topic? Well, if you saw the title, that's pretty much what it's going to be about. If you go back to one of my recent previous episodes about why I left Christianity, that was pretty much the overview of where I started and how I got to leaving religion. If you haven't watched it, I ask that you go back, take time to check that one out. But for those that have taken the time to watch, you know, I went through my childhood, you know, some of the teenage years, my life in church. And then I spoke about how I actually was not intending to leave religion at all. For those that have listened, but for those that don't know, I just go through it, some of my background. You know, I'm the son of a Kojic pastor, from a pretty big family of Kojic people. That's where they're started at. At this point, they might be into some non-denominational churches and things of that nature, but we started out as Kojic at St. Paul Church of God in Christ, right in Emporia, Virginia, on Low Ground Road. That was really the home base of the Crawley family. So I come from a family that was seven brothers, six of them being preachers, pastors, one was a deacon, and on the women's side, it was mostly missionaries and things of that nature. So I come from 11, 12 uncles and aunts that preached and did things within the church. And it just happened to be one of the most prominent denominations, the Church of God in Christ. And the reason I mentioned like where I come from in my background is because I want you to understand that I'm coming from a valid place, and I'm coming from a place of not being a novice to religion and the ways of church. Because everybody has their own background, their own story. So there may be some that come on YouTube and tell their story that don't have such a churchy background. And that's respected too. Because hopefully somebody can resonate with their story. But I wanna tell where I come from so you understand. I shouldn't have gotten to this point. Coming from the type of background I come from, when on that side, that's all you know. Even when it comes down to having family functions and stuff, the jokes they tell are churchy, biblical-based jokes. And they're actually funny, but everything is church. They're joking about Peter, Paul, and just different things. And it's actually hilarious. If you were there, it's some of the funniest non-cussing jokes, comedy stuff I've ever heard. You know, but that's what I come from. On that side of my family, the Crawley side, my father's side. That's what I come from. You know, I come from going to convocations and seeing people like Timothy Wright, Twinkie Clark, Myrna Summers, just different gospel artists that became or were big time names at the time, that to the whole world, that was trouble don't last always. But to us, like, that's Timothy Wright. We see him kind of we see him, you know, whether you got to meet him or not. He comes to our convocation like he's right there, you know. And then a lot of gospel artists, especially at that time, originated in the Church of God in Christ. So it was no big deal to have one of those top named artists come through the convocation, whether they were there for a whole one or two songs or for a whole evening. I remember one time Twinkie Clark came and just did a solo thing with herself on just the organ for the whole evening. That was just her thing. Preach, sing, minister, just her and the organ. That was the whole night for that night of the convocation, you know. So that's where I come from. So when I'm speaking about things, just know I come from a place of knowing. People are quick to say, oh, you ain't read the Bible right, or you didn't do this right, you didn't do that right, as if their experience is so much supersedes your experience or my experience. People tend to think that once they find Jesus, they found the best Jesus. I found the best version of how to do Jesus. So they go around trying to convince anybody that doesn't do Jesus the way they do Jesus that you ain't doing Jesus right. That ain't how you should do it. So you got to pray and then fast, and it go into all of that. And it's like, that really makes no sense to me. So I go back to saying, I come from all of that. I shouldn't be where I am right now. So as I described on the last podcast, I actually did not intend to get to a place where I no longer followed any religion. My goal was to study the religion that I was a part of, which is Christianity, until I found out how to do it the right way, because the people I was up under, they ain't doing it the right way. So that was my mindset that day I sat in front of the YMCA and told the pastor, I can no longer be a part of your church. So let's pick up from right there. Okay. So that first day when I made that decision, like I say, I wasn't to the point where I was ready to leave religion. I was just like, I'm done with that church. I'm done with them folks. Because even after that, I still visited a couple of churches. I know I went to St. Paul, the original home church. But that was kind of weird, right? And let me explain. And this ain't to diss nobody, but I look a lot like my father from what I'm told. I'm named after my father. Some of my mannerisms are like my father. So when you go back into a place where he comes from, the family comes from, and are well known, and then I go back in there, they're respecting my father. They're not expecting Ed Jr. Because the reason I say that, I'm a drummer. Up until I started trucking, that's all I did. I was a drummer in church, whatever. And for years, when I would go back to our home church where we started out at, there was one particular person that never wanted me to play the drums. Never. And nobody really understood why. And sometimes other adults would have to step in, like directors and stuff, like, hey, go play. But I never understood why. So then when I go back, like after I leave that church, that's one of the first people telling me, oh, you can play the drums and this and that. I'm like, is this real? How you go for so many years of not wanting me to play, but now that I'm not down there, you think it's okay? Oh, because y'all ain't really, the people that was playing there, they kind of moved on. So you really ain't got none right now but an organist. Now you can play now. Nah, man. So I was uncomfortable, dog. I didn't feel like I was being seen for myself. I felt like I was being seen as just a Crawley. And I felt like I was being seen as my father. And I don't want to do that. It's good that they respect my father and he's seen in such a positive light. But it's something about those folks, especially church folks, not just St. Paul. I'm not really talking about them now. But just the people in general from a small area. Once they know your parents for a certain thing, good or bad, if you have a resemblance to them, they can tell who you are. They try to tie you to that. And I'm 42 when people still try to tie me to that. So, that being said, I made the choice to, I was like, nah, I can't. I mean, I know the people, they cool. I've known most of these people all my life, but I'm not comfortable. I know that what I see and what they see is different. So I stopped going there. Okay, let me see. Did I? Oh, yeah. Now, let me backtrack. And this was petty of me, but I got to tell the story because it's a part of my story. Now, prior to that, someone from the church I was going to, the pastor was originally a part of another church. So when I left that church, some of the people from the church they came from called me. Actually, they had called me prior to that, but I had turned them down. Like, no, I can't do it. I can't play. After that, they called me. We made contact again. I was like, do you still need a drummer? And they was like, yeah, you can come play because, you know, such and such, he want to start working the sound and blah, 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 so that'll let you play. I was like, cool. So we worked out how much I would get paid. And my whole goal, well, one of my goals in that was to get paid for 1 week what the other church paid me for 1 month. Because they didn't do me right. And if you hear this, if you was in position in charge of the money, you know y'all didn't do me right as far as how the different musicians got paid. There was no reason that musicians that only came there one Sunday got paid the same thing that I got paid for playing every Sunday. It was no excuse for that. But y'all the holy ones, right? So one of my goals was I want them to pay me as much as they pay me for a whole month. That way, if I get it every Sunday, I feel okay about that. I don't feel as much anger about that. And then when it got to the point we'll be rocking out, whether it's a shout or a song or something, the pastor of the church might get on the mic and shout out the musicians' names. I wanted them to hear my name. Simple as that. I wanted them to know, even though you did me wrong, you can't stop the gift that's in me. So now I'm going to go play from where you just came from. And I'm going to rock out over there too. So I was kind of being petty. And I would make sure I was high every time I went too. That's just the stage I was in at the time. I made sure I was high. They're going to pay me at least the same thing I was getting for a whole month every week. And they was going to say my name on the radio. Now, fast forward, that was kind of petty, but it's what I did. All right, let's move along. Okay. So I'm playing the drums at that church. Now, at this time, I'm mentally moving away. I'm asking more questions. I'm doing deeper research. So at this point, I'm really just going to that church to play the drums and get the money. I wouldn't. When they would do communion and stuff, they try to get me to stand up. I'd be like, nah. And they look at me funny. I'm like, I'm not standing up. Like, I'm not participating. You think I'm a sinner? Fine. But outside of me using my gift in church, I wasn't going to be a hypocrite to it. I wasn't going to fake like I was into it. I was there to play the drums, enjoy the musicians, and I was there to get paid. Okay. So as I progress along in that, I start learning different things that were not taught to me in Sunday school or at Bible study or YPWW or any of those things. Because a lot of times with those different classes, you're just getting a remixed version of stories you've already heard. Sunday school, it might be a little bit lighter. Bible study night, you want to go deeper into it. And then I don't know what the hell YPWW for. That's like a Sunday. You got Sunday school early in the morning, but then you got Sunday evening school. It made no sense. And if y'all still doing it, it makes no sense. Young people willing worker when we ain't have but a handful of young people in the church. If y'all don't get y'all old ass out of here. Okay, let me fast forward. Let me keep going. So I was still going playing the drums, but I was progressing in the things I was studying. I was moving forward. I was moving away from church in the mental, but physically I was still going, but mentally I was far away from church, you know. So as you progress along, at first you're happy that you made certain decisions, that you made certain moves. But there's a loneliness that comes to it until you find your tribe. There's a loneliness that comes along with walking away from religion. Because think about it. If you were in it to a certain degree, that's all you knew. Everybody you knew and everything you did was connected to that. And now you're in a position where, whether by choice or whether by miscommunication or whatever, a lot of that's being stripped away. As you study and learn and start to reveal things to people just in conversation, because you're happy about the things you're learning, you notice people start to back away. Even though you mean them no malice, no harm, no ill intent. Because you present ideas that are outside the scope of what they've been taught and what they believe, they start to back away. So this journey can be very lonely. Even at 42, it can be lonely. And I'll get more into that in a few minutes. But it can be a lonely path, because very few that I'm connected with have the mindset that I do. Most of them are open to some of the things I talk about and say, but they're still teetering on. It's almost as if people are afraid to let go of a certain thought process because they think something bad is going to happen because they do that. And I'm here to tell you, nothing bad will happen to you. That's the main point of why I'm saying this stuff. You'll be okay. And I'm going to get back to my point, but as I speak and as I talk, I'm hoping that what I'm saying resonates with someone. There may be someone on the fence about things that have had questions and you're unsure about which way to go. And you low-key, behind the scenes, you listen to certain things and certain stuff starts to make sense to you, and it may go against what you were taught growing up, but hell, this makes sense to me. This makes more sense than, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This stuff over here just makes more sense to me. Yeah, I know they say you got to walk by faith and not by sight, but I see this. I'm not going to walk through life blind. I see this. And I made up my mind that no matter what truth I come across, I was going to accept it, even if it went against everything I was taught. That's a hard thing to accept coming from the type of background. Everything, when we prayed every Sunday morning, my mama, even when we got in high school and was smoking weed, every day before we went out, my mama put the little cross of anointing oil on our head, prayed for us. We would go to the bus stop, smoke our blunt, get on the bus, get to school. The guys would be joking, "Crawley boys, y'all still got the oil on your head." But they knew we were high as fuck, but hey, y'all forgot to wipe the Jesus off your head. To the point, we just laugh about it. My mama prayed for us this morning. Because we weren't ashamed of who we were. It was a little uncomfortable at first, but we never were ashamed of being the preacher's sons, the preacher boys. Because we knew 9 times out of 10, at the time anyway, we could smoke most people under the table when it came to weed. I know y'all got all that gas and moon rock and dog rock and dog spit and dog shit. All type of name for reefer now. But I'm talking back then when they had the Arizona. Y'all the heads. See right there. Right there, the heads gonna know what I'm talking about. When they had that Arizona strand come through here. I'm from that right there. But for the holiday, we'll just sit around and see how much we could smoke. It won't no limit to it. It's just how much can we smoke? You know. So they knew. Yeah, they in the church. They this and that. But them boys, high. They like to smoke weed. Anyway, my brother's a pastor now, and I'm not. But as I was saying, I hope for those that might be on the fence, hope something I say today helps you make a decision. And for those that have already crossed the fence, our stories might be a little different, but hopefully you can relate and some resonates with you to help you keep going. Because, like I said, this can be a lonely path at times. All right. It's hard to find a new tribe out here, you know. I'm going to come back to that too, but it's hard to find a new tribe. Okay, let me go through some of this. Okay, because when you first leave religion, when I first left, and then when I first started coming across this new information, I was excited. Oh, shit, this word really means eon. It doesn't mean to the end of the world. It means to the end of the age. And, you know, just different words that the real translation actually didn't mean the bad stuff that we thought it did. And I was like, oh, snap, we ain't going to fucking hell. Ain't no really no place that's burning. The concept of hell really comes from Dante's Inferno, which the Catholic Church adopted and painted the picture of what hell should look like. And all of that stuff started coming. So I'm running around telling people, because I'm like, we ain't got to go to hell, y'all. This is blah, blah, blah. And I was met with, it was like conversations would go so well. And then when it would switch to that, it's like they would be like, huh, what? What you mean? I don't know if I get that. What? And that would start bothering me. And I got to the point, I'm like, oh, they don't get it. So you go from this happy space to a more depressing stage. Because it's different stages, and some might go through them at different points. You might get happiness later. You might get depression later. I'm telling you the way mine went. So it goes from happiness, being excited. I got this information. I can help us. Look, this is what it really is, blah, blah, blah. And you get a lot of stone faces or a lot of hans and a lot of, man, what you talking about? And Ed crazy. You know, so it was one conversation I had with somebody that's close to me. And I remember we were riding somewhere and we were having a great conversation. And I had pointed out a couple of things that didn't make sense. And they kind of agreed. And then when I got to the one, I thought, okay, they're going to really get this. And I presented it to them. They was like, huh, what you mean? And I was blown away, because it's not that I doubted this person's intelligence at all. I know them very well. It's not that I thought that they were trying not to get what I was saying. They're very intelligent. But this is where, before I even knew the definition of the word, my first experience of dealing with somebody when cognitive dissonance kicks in. And when, and I just keep it simple, when pretty much when, it's almost like when things that make sense come to you, but you're stuck in your belief system. So you automatically revert back to that. Even though what this person is presenting to you makes sense, your religion is your default defense. So instead of straddling over there, you would talk, lean not to your own understanding and things of that nature, you know. So it's hard to find a new tribe. It's hard to find people to really, truly connect with. Because even when you become awake, I don't even like using the word woke no more, but even when you become aware, you realize everyone's on different stages. For instance, I have a cousin. He's been out of religion way longer than me. So, yeah, we relate on certain things, but on certain topics, he might have a totally different perspective. Not saying he's right or wrong. It's just that his perspective is different because he's had more time to analyze it. You know? So even coming out trying to find a tribe can be difficult because everybody's on something different. And even with that, you're still okay. Even though it's lonely, even though you might not be able to find that tribe right away, still where you are is better than where you were. Even being by yourself, because I'd rather be by myself with the truth than in a room full of lies. Let me say that again. I'd rather be by myself with the truth than in a room full of lies. So I got everybody around me, everybody doing, but their life is a lie. And the reason I say that, so many in church can do church, but as soon as they leave church, life kicks back in. So whether that's drinking, smoking, having sex with other people, whatever, that's going to kick back in. The realness is going to kick back in, you know. So you're better off alone with the truth than in a room full of lies. Okay. Okay, another reason is hard to find a tribe, right? And I'm gonna try to say this in a way that I don't offend certain people, but that certain people get the point. Because the things I'm gonna speak about, I believe that there's some validity to it. I believe that there's some type of knowledge to it, that there's something good from it. But just like with religion, I believe people take those things as a cover-up. So, okay, when I came out of religion, it seems like most people, they run into the hotep situation first, and, you know, you start speaking certain language, Ashe, and, you know, you start getting into the African, the real true African history. El Kebulon and all the different names. I'm not trying to get up here. This is not a history lesson. So if somebody say, well, he said that wrong. So I'm not trying to give a history lesson right now. I'm trying to get to make some points for the people that need these points to be made. So people take on, you come out of religion and you may happen to run into some other people that have come out of religion too. But what I'm finding is a lot of times when people come out of religion, they pick up something else in the place of religion. As with me, when I left religion, I left it to be free. Because from my understanding, the root of the word religion means to bind. To hold together, to bind. Religion means to bind. I want it to be free. So I would come across the ones with the Hotep, Ashe, and all the African rituals that they were starting to learn. And that was their tribe. Cool. I didn't want to be tied to one thing. You know, then you move along, people got the stones and different things. Now, I'm not really into the stones like that. And I'm sure that there's some knowledge to them. And I know some people that have good lives and operate with the stones. But I also know some of y'all that talk about all this stone stuff, but the powers that the stones supposed to have don't never translate into your life. So it's like the same thing you did with religion, you doing with them stones. It's having no effect. So it's like, man, is there anybody out here that's really trying to be free? Not trying to tie themselves, oh, let me do this, let me do this, or let me study. Is anybody that's trying to really be free? And what I mean by that is, I'm able to take some from the people that study, okay, the stones, or that study the stars, or that study tarot, or African tribalism, just different things. I'm able to take a little bit from all of those without having to call myself that. Because once I call myself that, now I'm tied to whatever rules you made. And I'm probably not going to agree with them. I was born free. We get told we're Christian. You get told you're a Muslim, a Catholic. But you're born free. You know that, right? We're in a hospital. They don't ask you what religion you are. You can't tell them. So up until that point, you're free. You get told what to be. And because you don't know any better, and that's just all you know, you follow that.
Okay.
Also, even when it comes to, okay, leaving religion and picking other things up. As I said before, I do see some that operate with different things, maybe tarot, maybe the stones or different things. And they have some progressive, successful lives. Like I said, on the flip side, I see some that do it and their life ain't no better than when they was a Christian. So it makes me believe you the problem. It ain't religion. It ain't the stones. That's you, boo-boo.
Okay.
In that case, I believe those people pick up, they put down religion, but they pick up something else to keep from doing the work that they need to do for themselves. So they pick up the stones and start speaking about debt and pretty much deflecting off of them. Or they pick up, I don't want to keep saying the stones because I ain't picking on that. Like I said, I got respect for whatever you do, so I'm not going to keep saying that. But they pick up whatever and they put their energy into that and they start trying to mold their life into that instead of really doing the work on themselves first. It's no need for you to go from straight from religion to something else until you figure out where you are. That's just like going from one relationship to another. You ain't fixed the trauma from this breakup, and you going right into this one because it's a little relief. It makes you feel better. But at some point, that trauma going to come back up, y'all. So I would dibble and dabble. But once it starts sounding like religion, I disconnect from it. I do. Once you start talking like it's religious. Okay, and what I mean by that is, okay, in religion, a lot of times you're given answers or told different things, scriptures and stuff, that sound beautiful. They sound lovely. They make you feel good, tingle, get goosebumps, all of that, but they do nothing. They have no tangible assets to them that will allow you to have a productive outcome. None. They just sound really good. They feel good when you say them. And don't play some organ chords behind that. And I believe that's what people do, that they leave that and go pick up something else to keep from dealing with themselves. Well, me, once I really realized what it was, and once I finally made that decision to leave religion, I said, I'm not picking up anything else as a title, at least for now. And that's been like 8 years ago. I'm not allowing anyone to define me in a way other than what I allow myself to be defined. So you can't call me, and I'm not dissing, but you can't call me a Mason. You can't call me a Kappa. You can't call me Omega. You can only call me a King because that's what I call myself. You can call me Ed Crawley too. But like I said, I believe a lot of people pick up these things as a cover-up instead of doing the real work. Let's not do that. Because in you doing that, you're in a no better position than when you were still in religion. Okay? So put the stones down, put the books down, put everything down and deal with you first. Deal with you first. Because until you deal with you, you're going to dilute everything you put your hands on. Okay. Whew. And I got a couple more. We're going to... They say God has not given us the spirit of fear. This is one thing taught in religion, and I believe one thing that keeps people from pulling away and venturing outside of religion to get further instructions and answers. It says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, But then they turn around and teach you to be afraid of everything. And even though some of it has changed over the years, oh, don't go to the movies. Don't listen to secular music. Don't go to this place. Don't talk to that person. Don't fornicate. Don't you have no sex. And Lord God, don't you dare let a Jehovah Witness in your house. Come on, y'all know it. You're supposed to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, but you slammed the door in the Jehovah's Witness face. And you think you're right. Yes, you. The ones that call themselves Christians. When I was a Christian, and my ex-wife could verify this, we let the people in. We've had Mormons come to the house, Jehovah's Witnesses come to the house, and we didn't slam the door in their face because we believe we were right. So why not go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and all that goofy shit. But that's what we did. So when I was a Christian, I Christianed the best I could. The people y'all would slam the doors in their face, now we let them in the crib. Y'all white boys, y'all want some water? Because y'all walked up and on bikes and stuff, and it's hot, it's the summertime. Come on in and get some water. Let's talk. Oh, y'all Jehovah's Witness? You want to talk about the 144,000, blah, blah, blah? Let's go into that too. They never came back. Because if you really know what you're supposed to know, they're not going to keep knocking on your door, and you ain't got to slam the door in their face. For something that's supposed to be so free, you have so many restrictions. And then the things you can do that are actually not sinful, they just not accepted, you have to sneak and do because everybody can't cover you. And I understand it. But once you get to where I am, when you live a life based on pretty much what you want to do within reason, I'm not sneaking that stuff from anybody. If I want to take a drink, I'm way over 21. I'm going to take a drink. And I ain't got to, because they ain't going to understand. I don't care if you don't understand. See, that's the difference. So many things you get to let go of, so many fears and restrictions you get to let go of when you let go of the bondage of religion. They claim you get into religion so you won't be bound by sin, but religion means to bind. Okay, another important topic. I hope somebody following along right now. Dating, and I'm laughing about it, but it's pitiful. Okay, as I said, as I went along, it was hard because most of the people you know still know you from church. So even though your mind is in a totally different spot, you're moving so far past that, to them they still see you there. So for a long time I was afraid to actually come out early and tell a woman, I don't do religion. I don't mess with church like that. I'm not going to go with you to church. I would be afraid to say that because I just didn't know. It was so new to me. And it actually took me a long time. So dating has and still is always kind of weird. Because, and then ladies, I'm going to get on your case. Some of you, some but not all, some but not all. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but you busted open for a real nigga. Let me say it again. You're saved, you're sanctified, you're filled with the Holy Ghost, but every now and then you busted open for a real nigga. That's a sin. Even with that being said, we could fornicate 7 days a week. And it could be her initiating the fornication. But when she finds out I don't believe the same stuff she believes anymore, she thinks I'm the devil. Let me run back through that. She can spread them legs and give me that wet thing 7 days a week with her initiating it. And I'm not talking about one situation. I'm talking about several, because that's how it would play out. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, fire baptized. Busting it open for a real nigga, spreading them legs, be wet. But when you find out, even though prior to that, I've only treated you good, I've only been respectful, all of that. If you got kids, I was good to your kids, all of that. But as soon as you find that out, I had one woman tell me, I can't believe I let you meet my kids. I was like, wow. First of all, bitch, you came after me. Let's be clear. In that situation, I didn't even want a girlfriend. So how dare you now turn around and say, because you realize through us having a conversation, I told you where I was with it. And just based on that, not anything I'd done wrong to you. Oh, God, I can't believe I let you meet my kids, be around my kids. You talking about something that hurt? Because it's like, y'all really are blind. So no matter how good I am to you, if I don't carry that title, I'm a piece of shit. When in reverse, I could really be a piece of shit. But if I'm say I'm saved, I got a shot. I'm going to just let you sit with that for a second. I'm going to look at some more notes. I got some podcast notes. Oh, yeah, I got some stuff here I need to go over. All right, I'm back. Y'all finished with that? Y'all finished? All right. So I would run into that situation over and over and over to the point even now it's crazy. Even up until recently, I had to block a young lady, and that was the only girl I was interested in. But I truly believe it was only two things that kept us from talking. The fact that, not that I didn't have the money, I just didn't spend it willingly because I ain't no trick. Like, I got to have a reason to do some certain things. I'm not going to just be spending money just so you'll give me some. Ed Crawley does not operate that way. And two was my stance and my viewpoints on religion and my lack of following religion. She never would say it. Beautiful young lady. But because of her lack of communication and it clearly being one of those two things, I made the choice to block her, because why am I going to torture myself trying to prove something to you about something that is so ridiculous at this point? I shouldn't even be wasting my time trying to talk to you, but because I see the good in you, I'm going to try. But I blocked her. Because what you're not going to do is have me out here being good to you, treating you right, better than most dudes have treated you, and because I don't believe the same stuff you believe, you'd rather be back with a nigga that beat on you and stuff. But he say he loved God. He loved Jesus and shit. Okay. A lot of y'all are settling for less than what you deserve, because all you think you're supposed to get, I need a man to save, sanctified, and praise for me. And I'm not going to go back into it because I talked about it last podcast. But especially from somebody like myself coming from my background, it's easy to do the Jesus shit. Easy. It's easy to convince you that I'm that Jesus nigga, that Jesus dude. I'm into that shit. And let me say one thing, because I know that there are some church folks that watch this. Don't y'all got Netflix and Hulu and stuff, and you watch movies that got cussing in it, right? I'm sure you do. I'm sure your whole TV is not censored, right? And I'm sure when you hear a word, you don't just turn the TV off, right? You know where it gets back to me, especially when in a certain group. Stop acting like because you heard me say shit, you got to stop listening. I could very well be saying something to save your life, but because I said damn. Oh, Ed said damn. He said damn. Let me turn it off. And then you wonder why I don't want to be around you. Well, I don't want to be around that type of setting, those type of people. That little minor stuff will make you miss the whole point. Because I said shit. Well, get the fuck off then if you don't want to listen. Because I ain't about to change it up. I changed it up for too many years to be changing it up now because you don't like some cussing. When I won't do nothing but thank you, Jesus, and all that. Yeah. Okay, let me go a little deeper. Let me go a little deeper because I don't want to skim past this. Especially like my first 2 years. I would look for confrontations with pastors and ministers and all of that. Because once they started hearing that he was no longer doing that, when they would see me, I guess they would call themselves doing their duty. And me at that particular time, at that stage, I was angry. So it's like, I'm a cuss. I'm going to say whatever I want to you. Because what you going to do, fight me? And if you're going to fight me, let's fight. At that time, that's what I was on. It's like, nigga, all you're going to do is, the worst you're going to do is try to fight me. And where I was then, nigga, let's fight. Let's throw down this motherfucker. I'm glad I'm past that stage. But I remember several people, they run into me at Walmart. And I wouldn't go in on them first. I would wait. I would say, how are they going to approach me? Are they just going to be, hey, Ed, how you doing, blah, blah, blah? Or are they going to still come at, well, the Bible's still right. Boom, I'm gone. Soon as you say that, inferring that I'm fucking up, I'm in your ass with, but not just emotion. I'm in your ass with facts. Stuff that you can go look up and Google and YouTube and read. I'm coming at you with it. Because what you're not going to do is try to make me look like I'm less than because I don't believe what you believe. That's what you're not going to do. Even now, you're not going to do that. I'm at a much more peaceful state now. But what you're not going to do is try to make me look like, feel like, act like I'm less than because I don't do that. And that's for anybody that's listening that's on the fence or over here. Don't ever let anybody do you like that. It's 100% okay to walk away from religion, and you're not wrong. You're not a bad person. You're not an evil person. You're not a demonic person. You're probably one of the most pure people out there at this stage because you let go of the thing that had you bound. Let you sit on that for a second. You let go of the thing that had you bound. So don't ever. Now, I can't tell you how to handle it. Because I can only speak for me when it comes to that. I can't tell you to be as aggressive with nobody. You might not be an aggressive person. I can't tell you to, you know, be nice about it. You might not be a nice. Like, I can't tell you how to process you. But what I'm saying is, don't let nobody put that on you. Don't ever leave the conversation feeling like, well, maybe I'm wrong. Stand on that shit. Once you get to a certain place, stand on it. Don't let nobody take that from you. Don't let nobody try to convince you that you're a bad person. Stand on it. I stand on it in front of anybody at this point. And to be honest about it, and I'm going to go through a little bit more, and I've probably bounced around, but this won't be the last time I talk about this. Okay, let me back up. I would have them conversations with people. A lot of times I would be kind of aggressive. Sometimes I would be flagrant with it. Sometimes I would be disrespectful. Partially because I was hearing what was coming back being said about me. It's like, you said, y'all saying that about me? After all these years? You told that lie on me? so I'm gonna get you every time I see y'all. It's up. And of course, we ain't had that terminology back then, but it's up. Every time I see you, I'm gonna be waiting. Like, I hope they come at me sideways. It's up. And every time I would go in, all the way. They say, yeah, it ain't crazy, because I'm not gonna let you bully me. Not with no religion. I'm not gonna let you do it. Okay, let me move along a little bit. So my wife and I, you know, I spoke about, we had split up, my second wife and I. And even though I was still out in the public, I think I might have been working in the school system at the time for part of this. So I was still, you know, interacting with people in different things. But when I would go home, I was by myself. A lot of quiet time, a lot of reflecting and smoking weed and good stuff like that, and Wu-Tang music and rap music and, you know, a little fornication every now and then. But I was mostly by myself. A little bit more fornication on top of that. But mostly a little bit more fornication. I was by myself. You know, because I was starting to realize that maybe nobody gets it. You know, outside of, like I said, my cousin and a few other people I knew, but in my immediate area, maybe nobody gets it. I didn't think I was wrong, but I'm like, so I can't run into nobody that gets it? So that made me have to put on, not a front or fake, but only half of me when I went out. I can only give you half of me. That's what I thought anyway. That's what I thought. I was wrong, but I'm going to give you half of me. I'm going to give you the professional, fun, upbeat side, but we can't ever go into this because I got some stories I could tell, and they'll probably come out at a later time, just about different women in different situations. Like, y'all got to relax, man. Y'all got to stop forcing that Jesus stuff when y'all out here fucking. Straight up. You got to stop acting like you so much better than people that step away when you out here fucking them. Not married to them. So like I said, I spent a lot of time by myself, and because I was starting to either directly or hear about it, people that I loved or that I thought loved me were starting to talk crazy about me. These people I've been around for years. Also in the midst of that, you know, had some situations with my ex and her new situation. So things almost got violent with that a couple times. So I'm dealing with all of this. People talking about me. My ex done went and got with this dude. Now he pop up at the gym. We about to fight a couple times. And, you know, it just was a shit show. People I was close to, man. Even as we speak now, I got family I probably never talked to again. On my father's side. Not my mama's side. To my knowledge, we good, right, Banksis? We good, right? We ain't had no beef. So to my knowledge, we good on that side. But I got some on the Crawley side. I don't care if I ever talk to them again, because I've never come at them sideways. So you can't come at me sideways. I'm y'all nephew. I'm not your uncle. I'm the nephew. You can't come at me sideways and then not explain it to me. I could understand if somebody could have come back and said, okay, Ib, we didn't mean it that way. I didn't mean it that way. I shouldn't have reached out to them people talking about you. This is what I meant. But because nobody that was mentioned in the text came back and said, Ib, this is what the conversation was about. So because nobody did that, I know y'all were talking about me. So I said all that to say, I don't got to deal with you. I don't know how y'all operate, but y'all, well, family is family. No. No, they're not. Once you violate, we have the same last name. We're related to the same people, but you're not family. Because family don't do that. Family don't make somebody on the inside feel like they're on the outside. Family does not do that. And somebody might say, oh, you sound angry, so. Some of it I do get angry about when I talk about it. Like, so what? But like I said, family don't do that. So I have several family members on that side. I don't care if we talk again because I wasn't the one wrong. If we talk again, it's going to be with you coming back apologizing to me. Simple as that. Ed ain't done none wrong to y'all. And y'all know that. It ain't like I'm just saying that. Ed will tell the whole story if he did something wrong. I don't mind telling how I fucked up. Because I want somebody to be able to tell me, yeah, Ed, you, it was on you that time. But I ain't done none of y'all. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck either, though. Let me go back to my notes. So, like I was saying, I've had so many people over time step away from me. Not because I did anything to them, just because I don't accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I ain't never took nothing from them. I ain't never cheated to them, on them, or whatever. I ain't never lied to them. I ain't never disrespected them. Never none out the way of flagrant. But just because I don't accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, now I'm crazy. He's lost. This was recent. And I'm not going to say who it was. But it hurt deeply. I was in the store with one of my homeboys. I was riding with him. We got off the road. He had to take care of some business. So I was riding with him. We chilling. Going to the store. He doing, taking care of business. Somebody I knew, like close, knew, came in. So her and I, we talking like, good conversation, great conversation. Her husband was taking care of the paperwork, doing whatever he had to do over there. I spoke, hey, how you doing, boom, boom, boom. So her and I talking a good 15 minutes or whatever while he doing that. So he come over, we walking towards the front. We still talking, yeah, good. I mean, great conversation. Then before he leave out the door, he say, well, you know, I still got to tell you. And then he went into the same spiel about, you know, the Bible, oh, you know, you need to come back and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, why did you just do that? He was like, because it's my job to do. I was like, no, it's not your job to do that. I said, we just had a great conversation. Why did you feel like you had to, before you left, make sure I was right? So I'm wrong? That's what you're telling me? You telling me the life, I'm failing at life because I don't do it the way you think I should do it? No, that ain't what I'm saying, but I still got to tell you. Well, stop telling me that. I told him that. I say, don't tell me that. Y'all stop going around telling folks this. People have good conversations with y'all, and before they leave, you got to put that on them to make them feel bad about themselves. It don't work for me. You ain't going to have me going home and thinking, well, maybe I do need to give my life to Jesus. You're not going to have me like that. So you can't talk to me like that. Like you really bugging. And as I walked away, I said, that's why me and my father don't talk that much. And I walked away. Because you're not going to force that on me. We can talk about anything. But because of some imaginary thought you have, you feel like you were commissioned to do something from somebody that you ain't nobody ever seen. And now you get to force what you believe on me. No, you don't get to do that. And if you feel like you get to do that, I get to talk crazy to you. So if you feel like your role is to, well, I got to minister to them. My goal is I'm going to cuss them out. And I might not cuss you out because I try to be respectful. But I'm going to be so at you that I want you to feel as offended as I do. So I'm going to be at you. You know. So that's another couple I probably never speak to again. And it's sad. Because it didn't have to be like that. And I'm giving a few of these examples because I know some of you have either gone through it, or if you're coming out this way, you're going to go through it. You're going to lose ties with some people you never thought you would lose ties with. Can you deal with that? Like I tell people, like, and I don't know if it gets bigger, would I be able to deal with it? But I let people know when they hear some of the stuff I say and this and that, I say you got to be willing to pay the price for it, though. So you can be impressed that Ed, he just say what he want to say and blah, blah, blah. It's a price that come with that. I just happen to be willing to pay that price. But everybody can't pay it because it's a heavy price. When you putting certain thoughts and things out into the atmosphere that challenge what is supposed to be normal, some of that feedback not easy. You get some harsh words from people you never thought you would get them from. You get acute. I've had people I ain't done nothing to get something twisted around, and then they come back to me like, Ed, like, is there a problem? Or I thought what you said was about me. I'm like, why would I ever say something bad about you? Why would you let somebody tell you that? When we've never had anything but a solid relationship. Nothing but that. And like I said, this won't be the last time I have these conversations. So if I skipped around some, if I left something out or whatever, it'll be covered as time goes along. As I continue to do episodes, whatever I might have left out this time, it'll come back up. And even some of these topics will be rediscussed because it's some more meat in them, but I'm just giving you the overview. You can walk away from religion and it will be all right. It may be lonely for a little while. It may be lonely over the course of it. It may take a while to find your tribe because everybody's at a different spot. So you're going to have to learn how to balance who you are against everybody else and learn how to be at peace with that. You got to learn when you walk into certain rooms, am I going to turn it up or I'm going to keep it even? You got to be the thermometer when you walk into the room, the thermostat, not the thermometer. You got to be the thermostat. You got to determine where I'm going to take this. Am I going to take it up to 75 and let them get some of that? Or I'm going to take it down. I'm going to go ice cold. Let's take it down to 32 on them. You got to decide how to maneuver more fluently and more organized, more intently. You have to do that. You know. And when dating, be honest. It took me a minute, like I said, out of fear. Because it was some ladies I liked and I was like, dang. Why this got to be the only thing that keep me from them? But in the long run, they need to know. Because like y'all say in religion, what they say? You don't want to be unequally yoked. But y'all niggas don't know what that mean. But I'm going to use it in the context in which y'all use it. Down the road, I'm sure as she gets more into the church, she's going to be one me. Well, can't you just go to this service? And can't you just go to this service? And I know how some of y'all go to church and y'all are just going to keep wife quiet so everything will be cool during the week. I wouldn't do it. She'll have to just be mad. Okay, how good the cookies is, I'm not going to be sitting up in there for that. Just not going to do it. But where am I at now? Let's talk about that. I'm at a place of peace. I know through some of my conversation, you know, I got a little elevated and stuff. I'm a passionate person. But I'm probably at one of the most peaceful places I've been at since I've been on this journey. Because I'm finally at a spot where I just refuse to allow energies into my life that will take me out of my peaceful place. You could text me with the wrong energy. I'm not responding. you could call me and it just be about some drama, and in a few minutes we get on the phone. You know, I'm not so much at a place where I argue so fervently about religion. Really now, you know, I post some stuff on Facebook, you know, to make some points or start some conversations. But for the most part, I don't say I avoid those conversations, but I don't go out looking for them as aggressively as I once did. I live and let live. That's what I do. I live and let live. And as long as you don't try to force your mindset, force your belief system on me, we can have a peaceful existence. It's only once you cross that line and feel like it's your duty to school me or to teach me or to get me to believe in this invisible Jesus that you've never seen, nobody's ever seen. But because they make the wording around it sound good, you actually feel special because you ain't seen him. They teach you some bullshit and then you feel special about it. So many questions that I had that weren't answered while I followed religion. And it's not that I have all the answers now. I'm willing to say I don't know. I'm not afraid to say I don't know. So many times in religion, especially like you go to pastors and ministers, no matter what question you ask them, they always have an answer. I respect the person that says, I don't know. I do. Because that means you're willing to go think about it some more, do some research. But to just know everything, just off the top, off the dome, it'll make me a little skeptical. Or it'll make me have to go back and research what you're saying. Because it's like, so they always right? They ain't never got to think about this. But see, y'all don't even think about that. Because once they start putting a couple scriptures together with a good analogy, they got you. Put a good scripture with a good analogy to make the scripture stand out more and be like, oh, damn. I see that. Glory be to God. It's a craft to it, y'all. Preaching is a skill. Teaching is a skill. It's a craft to it. It's ups and downs to it. Listen to T.D. Jakes when he preaches. He knows when to go up, and then you hear him come back down to this level and start talking to you like this, and then he starts getting a little bit more hectic, and then he go up there some. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know what I'm talking about. It's a skill to it. And it just so happens that it's going to affect you. Because it's affected more than just, it's not even a religious thing. It's frequencies and stuff, y'all. We're not getting into all of that. But it's frequencies and stuff that you're dealing with the music and all that. So it's going to affect you a certain way when you put a certain combination of things together. It's going to affect you. I still like gospel music, y'all. Not because I like religion, but because of the different tonalities and the rhythms. And there's nothing like gospel music. So I don't feel like you'll feel like a hypocrite listening to hip-hop, but I don't feel like a hypocrite listening to gospel because I'm able to enjoy the music without the message. But you feel like if I listen to hip-hop, I can't listen to that. They talking about this and that. They talking about some WAP. Your coochie dry? Because if it ain't dry, you got WAP too, right? You got that missionary WAP. What's wrong with that? That evangelistic WAP.
I'm just always baffled by the mentality of those that are supposed to be right. You're always doing wrong.
The majority of the women I've slept with over the years, and this might sound a little crass, they were Christians. I wasn't married to them. 99% of the women I've been with over the last few years have been Christians. Yet they would call me the one wrong for the way I live. But you're fornicating, which goes against the very rules in your book. What I'm doing don't go against no rules in my book. So I'm actually not the one being a hypocrite. You are.
every time you open your legs and give me the vagina, you're being a hypocrite, not me. But as I said, I'm going to get back to this. I'm at a place of peace where if you're about a lot of drama and this and that, even certain conversations I don't even engage in no more, even about certain things of religion and this and that, because it's like I had them arguments 5 years ago. I don't want to do that right now. I'm actually not trying to make enemies with all the Christians. I got a lot of people I like. Let me be clear. I have pastors and all types of people I'm associated with that we communicate behind the scenes. My brother's a pastor, and I love him with all my heart. And that's why I'm careful about some of the things I say, because I got respect for him. I'm going to still say certain things, but certain things I'm mindful of, because above a title or a religion or whatever, that's my brother. And I respect what he do, and I never want to be a stumbling block, but I got a story to tell. So, as you see, my hair look different. I'm doing something different with it, you know. I might let it grow out. I might lock it up. I don't know. I don't know yet, but I'm free. I wanted to change my image because my image matched too much of what people was used to, what they recognize and what they tied it to. And I'm like, I've been wanting to grow my hair for years, so I'm going to grow it. Simple as that. Anyway, I really, really hope you gathered some from this. With the most important point being that it's okay if you decide to walk away from religion. I come from a background where it's totally unaccepted to do that. Well, just about everybody on that side of the family was into that. I shouldn't be having this conversation according to that. And I'm letting you know, if I can do it coming up against that, you can do it. And I ain't going to say I can respond to every message, but if you really need me, reach out. And if I can respond and say something that possibly help, I will. Because I'm not just here for show. My channel right now don't have a whole lot of numbers. That's cool. I want whoever comes here to want to come here. So I believe it's going to grow soon, but whoever comes here, I want them to want to come here. Not because I did something trendy or this and that, or I got stuff to talk about. I have messages. I have a story to tell. I got something that somebody might relate to, something that might resonate with them. And it's not like I have a time limit for this to be done. We're going to talk about these things. I'm going to have some more guests on soon, but I had to get this part out because I truly believe it can help somebody. If you're on your journey right now, trust what I tell you. You're okay. And if you don't feel okay in this moment, I promise you, you're going to be okay. Some things going to be hard. You might lose some connection with some people. But I promise you, what remains will be greater than what was. Now, look, I'm going to get out of here. And before we go, take a moment. Hit that subscribe button. If you want to keep getting these good conversations, like I said, I'm working to get it back on a weekly schedule. And I see that coming to fruition. So as I get it back on the weekly schedule, you want to be able to get these when they drop. I still have to get back on what day I'm going to drop them. But it's going to be between a Friday and a Monday, usually, when I drop them. But it might be up in the air for right now. My thing is to get back to being consistent and putting this good messages and having these good conversations because it's needed. All right. Now I'm about to get up out of here. If you hit that subscribe button, if you hit that like button, if you shared it, go talk about it with your homie. Talk about it with your wife, your husband, your brother, your cousin. Show some love. Be at peace. I'll holler at you.